Blog Talk Radio.
And all access is all inclusive.
Back at it again for an NFL Week 4 holiday. You know how we do it. Sunday, October 3rd, 8:30 to 10 a.m., the fastest 90 minutes in fantasy football history. We're about to make that happen right now. I am your host, Rick Saratella, bringing you fantasy football insiders as we go around the league of mystery and intrigue. But we cannot do that without the stars of the show, Ross Mandel and Ralph Mancini. We'll welcome in the crew in a second. I want to give a shout-out to all our chat room people. It's getting heavy and hot already. We got Taz on board in the chat room, our official moderator of the Fantasy Football Insiders chat room, 347-945-6275, if you want to get in on the phone line action. And we have the bye weeks kicking in, so that means decisions in fantasy football situations. We're going to talk about some steals, some studs, some duds, and some sleepers. And we're going to do that all right now and get it started right into the show. And before the chat room gets kicking, Ross, we're going to kick off Atlanta at New Orleans. This is a statement game for the Falcons. Some running backs on the injury report. Break it down for us.
Well, unfortunately, Atlanta played New Orleans last week, so I'll assume you mean Carolina, New Orleans. Let's go with that. Pierre Thomas, injured, does not look like he's going to play because Deshaun Wynn was activated off the practice squad. That basically means Deshaun Wynn, Christopher Ivory, and the immortal Liddell Betts are going to be the three-headed running back monster for the Saints. To me, all that means is good news for Drew Brees, who's going to be putting the ball up early and often. He's fine. He's got the knee brace on. I do not think it's that big of a deal. You know, reports of the New Orleans offense's demise are very premature. Carolina's given up a ton of big plays. I think they will certainly do that this week. Marcus Colston is in for a big week and a couple of big plays. I think in an effort to limit those big plays, Carolina's going to turn to D'Angelo Williams, who always seems to shred the Saints' defense whenever these two get together. He did it last year. New Orleans isn't stopping anyone on the ground this season, giving up 145 yards per game. That's good for 30th in the league. I expect a big game from Williams. I do not think Jonathan Stewart is going to vulture touchdowns because Williams, if he scores, is going to do it from outside of 10 yards. To me, Stewart is the dud in this game. Last week, he did have a touchdown, but don't be fooled. He only had 8 carries for 13 yards. He's simply not getting enough touches, and he shouldn't be used until Mike Goodson stops stealing touches from him on third down. Sleepers in this game, take your pick from the sort of unsung New Orleans pair of receivers in Lance Moore and Devery Henderson. I happen to think it's Henderson's turn this week. Carolina's deep coverage is not good, and I think Henderson and Moore can both shake loose for a couple of big gainers. I also like the Saints' defense in this game. You know, Jimmy Clausen in the dome against an angry defense. I think there are plenty of points there for New Orleans defense to take advantage, and I see the Saints cruising in this one, 31-13, Rick.
All right, good pickup, cover up there, Rostradamus. Now we're going to welcome in Ralph Mancini. We're talking 1 p.m. games. Baltimore 2-1 visiting Pittsburgh, Reverend, 3-0 without Big Ben. Break it down for us.
Okay, well, I have a couple of studs here. I'm going to start off with Rashard Mendenhall. Look, he's not my favorite back, but he is running harder this year, and he's getting practically all the carries in Steel City. The Ravens are experiencing problems against the run. Some of their guys last week versus Cleveland up front were getting moved off the ball and allowed a straight-ahead runner like Peyton Hillis to gain 144 yards against them. Look for a big game by Mendenhall. Now, they're saying that Terrence Cody might play. Even if he does play, the kid's a rookie. That'll be his first NFL action. I would start Rashard Mendenhall over a lot of other guys this week. As a matter of fact, he is a top five back for me this week. I would definitely go with Rashard Mendenhall in my starting lineup. Anquan Boldin is another stud. Look, Joe Flacco won't have to wait for Boldin to get open downfield. Boldin makes a lot of his plays on short throws. He's hard to bring down in the open field, and he's already had success versus the Steelers. In Super Bowl 43, he gained 84 yards and 8 catches. Don't be afraid to use him. The dud here is Joe Flacco. look for Baltimore to scale things back for Joe Cool on the road against Pittsburgh last year. Flacco was sacked 9 times in 2 games, and there were plenty of other plays where there were breakdowns in the Ravens' offensive line that caused a number of blitzers to get open shots at Flacco. The sleeper here is Todd Heap. He's been consistent this year with at least 4 catches in every game. Baltimore ran a lot of 2 tight end formations last week versus Cleveland, and they'll look to do the same this week. Heap will be very active. Plus, he also had 2 touchdowns versus Pittsburgh in Week 16 last year. I do like Baltimore in this game. They will definitely win if they avoid turning the ball over. It's going to be Baltimore 19, Pittsburgh 13.
Okay, so Reverend likes the Ravens in a win. He likes McGahey against the defense. You do not like Joe Flacco against the Pittsburgh secondary, Ralph, which some people would call subpar.
Yeah, I understand, but you have to take into account that front seven. And if Flacco doesn't have a great history against the Pittsburgh Steelers either, I want to see him actually have a great game against the Steelers before I feel comfortable starting him. Look, if you're in a bind with bye weeks, then go ahead and start him. But I'm just telling you that there are a couple of other guys, I would say plenty of other guys this week that I would start over Flacco.
Okay, and surprise, surprise, TJ Houshmandzadeh, surprised he's not playing more, getting more balls. It never ends with that guy. Over to the chat room, guys. I'm going to start it off with you, Ross. Michael Turner or Danny Woodhead, you got me, guys. I think I'm going to have to go Danny Woodhead here, but that's a great pickup for the Patriots, already calling him a Wes Welker out of the backfield. A lot of big games coming up. We're going to break down that Eagles and Redskins matchup, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, the Rostradamus, and the good Reverend Ralph Mancini, fresh out of church. Until we get it going, we're going to get all your questions in. But next, Seattle Seahawks, Ross, travel into St. Louis, 1-2. What's the status on Steven Jackson here?
Yeah, he stayed very late to get treatment. But, it, you know, for my money, I don't think he can have him in there. It just doesn't make sense to risk him. And, you know, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but Seattle's run defense has actually been pretty darn good this season. Look, if you have Kenneth Darby, you know, you want to play him against the 5th rushing defense in the league, you can go ahead, but I wouldn't use him as more of a flex. Guy I do like this week for the Rams is rookie Sam Bradford. I think he's a real good bye week fill-in. Seattle's pass defense, as always, is terrible. And Marcus Trufant's a little banged up. I don't even know if he's going to play. You know, if Jackson's unable to go at all, and I don't think he will, then that means more passing against that, you know, vulnerable Seattle defense. I think this might be the time that Sam Bradford has his first 300-yard game, in fact. I definitely start him over Joe Flacco or Carson Palmer. You know, to me, that means his number one target, Mark Clayton, is in for another surprisingly big day. I have him just outside the top 10 in overall targets this season. And against Seattle, I think he's a good bet to approach 100 yards and a touchdown. Rev's boy, Rev's pick to click last week, John Carlson, did find the end zone, and he should again this week as Matt Hasselbeck's number one target against a pretty weak St. Louis pass defense. I think the dud in this one, and no one's going to disagree, is the Seattle wide receivers. Mike Williams recovering from, you know, an injury. He's in the confusing equation now. You got Branch, you got Butler. They're inconsistent. You have Golden Tate, who doesn't seem ready, although if I was going to take a gamble on one of the 4, it would be Tate. But I don't think he can start any of these 4, even in a bye week, even in a deep league. Sleeper, again, this is more a tribute to Seattle's poor pass defense and Sam Bradford looking for some safety. I think tight end Daniel Fells, who found the end zone last week, might be worth a bye week roll of the dice for you. Seattle's pass defense is just that poor, and I think eventually Bradford is going to want a little bit of a safety valve on a few plays, and I think that could come in the red zone. I think Fells could score a touchdown this week, and I have the Rams winning this game 27-21.
Okay, Rams at 27-21. Not so many people would call that a surprise, and, you know, all the hype leading up to the draft, Bradford or Clawson, who's the number one quarterback, and you know, here we are, NFL Week 4, and it's just amazing to look at now how it's all unfolded. Sam Bradford showing a lot of promise. Jimmy Clausen era, you know, getting started a little bit after, but, you know, two games into the season, Carolina panics. They pull the trigger. Not so ready, though, as Sam Bradford, so it appears. A lot of analysts, you know, saying that Jimmy Clausen was the most NFL pro-ready quarterback right now, and we're seeing that's not the case with Mr. Sam I Am Bradford in St. Louis. Questions coming in the chat room. Ralph, pick three, PPR league, Larry Fitzgerald, Malcolm Floyd, Wes Welker, Darius Heyward-Bey, or Jacoby Jones, who I really like this week with Andre Johnson on the men. Larry Fitzgerald, Ralph, not really satisfying fantasy football owners. Is he still in the mix here? Fitzgerald, Floyd, Welker, DHB, and Jacoby Jones. Who do you like pick three?
Well, look, I also like Jacoby Jones as a sleeper, but you just don't know what's going to happen there with Andre Johnson. Is he going to play? Isn't he going to play? And I think that's going to have an impact on how well Jacoby Jones is going to do this week. So, hey, I'm going to agree with Taz here, who beat me to the punch. I'm going to go with Fitzgerald. I'm going to go with Floyd, and I'm going to go with Welker.
Okay, how about you, Ross? Are you going to slide Jacoby Jones in there at all and sit either of those three, Fitzgerald, Floyd, or Welker?
Yeah, I'm tempted to put Jacoby Jones in for Fitzgerald, but at this point, I need another week of Fitzgerald not making me happy to do that. I'm going to give him one more week so I have him in an automatic start slot, so I'm going with the same three guys.
Yeah, and real Anakin, you know, you have DHB over Fitzgerald. Get him out of your lineup. It's just too early. It's not time yet to sit Fitzgerald for Darius Heyward-Bey. You know, it's just shooting yourself in the foot. Okay, where are we on the 1 o'clock slate? Denver, 1-2, traveling into Tennessee, Ralph, 2-1. Kyle Orton, geez, the guy is averaging 350 yards passing, over 350 yards passing per game, where Tennessee seems to have a bit of controversy at their quarterback position. Take it away, Rev.
Yeah, nice segue, because I was going to start talking about Kyle Orton as my stud in this game. He's undoubtedly one of the most improved players in the league. He put up 476 passing yards last Sunday and ranks sixth among quarterbacks in fantasy production. Denver should have issues running the ball versus a stingy Tennessee defense, which will prompt Orton to air it out. Orton spreads the ball around and finds favorable matchups. This week, cornerback Jason McCourty will miss the game with a forearm injury. Replacing him will be rookie Algernon Verner out of UCLA. Expect Orton to expose the rookie because that's what good quarterbacks do. They attack your weak spots, your weaknesses. That's what the NFL is all about. Look for another big day out of Kyle Orton. And the dud is the other quarterback in this game, Vince Young. He's just not a good pocket passer, and his own team knows it. He's attempted only 43 passes in three games. VY isn't taking any chances and will only make the safest of throws. He won't help you rack up fantasy points. The guy is a stiff. The sleeper here is Lawrence Maroney. I mean, look, don't expect the world out of Maroney. Tennessee is holding opposing backs to under 100 yards per game. But Maroney did perform versus Tennessee last year as a Patriot, gaining 123 yards and scoring a touchdown. So if you're really in a bind, you can do worse than Lawrence Maroney. Then I have one other sleeper here, and that's the wide receiver Brandon Lloyd. You can't rely on him every week, but he is the deep threat in Denver's offense, and he might be good for one or two big plays. Plus, Tennessee, as I mentioned before, is banged up in the secondary. Tennessee is not going to blow anybody out, but I do think they're the better team. I think this is going to come down to a field goal. I like Tennessee 20, Denver 17.
Yeah, closer than a lot of people think, or at least Vegas thinks, in my opinion. You know, this is Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. If you're not familiar with the show, we go around the league with stud duds and sleepers for every single game. If you did happen to miss some of the earlier games, you know, the show archives immediately after it finishes, so there's still time to get that in before the game season week kicks off. 8:30 to 10 every Sunday morning. I am Rick Saratella. I'm joined by Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. Check us out over at the NFL Draft Bible.com. Breaking it down for the people now. And we got the chat room going on. I'm going to get some chat room questions and go over to the phone lines. We mentioned Kyle Orton, Rev. Is he a stronger play than Eli Manning?
Yeah, I think he is. I'm going to go with Kyle Orton just based on what he's been doing these past few weeks. I mean, I think Eli Manning is also going to have a nice game versus Chicago. But I think that there's a better chance for Eli Manning to make some mistakes, turn the ball over. I think Orton's a safer play here. I mean, you can't argue with 476 yards. I don't think he's going to go off for that amount this week, but I think he's the hot quarterback right now, the hotter quarterback anyway.
Matt, I have those yards for garbage time, man. There's not going to be garbage time against Tennessee.
So,
okay.
Russ, which way are you leaning here?
I'll take Manning. I think the Bears' defense is vastly overrated. I think they'll get a little bit of a pass rush on them, but I like them at home with Hakeem Nicks and Steve Smith both having really good days. We'll get to that later, but I like Manning.
Well, just as long as Eli keeps the ball in his right hand, he'll be all right.
Well, I give the slight edge to Eli, but I wouldn't hurt you for starting Orton. You could go either way with that one. Sticking to the Giants theme here, Ross, coming in from Tub, rub-a-dub-dub, can't make the club in the tub, Mario Manningham or Lance Moore this week?
I think you definitely go with Lance Moore. Coming off of what he did last week, the fact that the Saints are going to look to be throwing the ball an awful lot this week, and Manningham a little banged up. He is going to play, but he's by far the third choice in that Giants receiving core. And, you know, on any given day, as we saw last week, Lance Moore could be number one for New Orleans, but that's not the case with the Giants. It's always going to be Smith and Nicks that get fed before Manningham, at least for now.
Okay, Rev, back over to you. You mentioned St. Louis and Clayton in line for a big day today. PPR league, question coming in, Clayton or Johnny Knox, your other guy?
Yeah, Clayton's having a nice season, but I can't rely on the guy. I mean, from week to week, I don't know. I need to see more out of him. I'm going to go with Johnny Knox here. I think he's got bigger upside. I love what I saw out of him last week. Although he only had four catches, he had about 94 yards. I think Knox is the more explosive player. He's got the bigger upside. I'm going to go with Knox.
Okay, and let's see. This question came in to us last week. It's another dilemma again this week, Ross. Steve Smith, I believe, the New York Giants, Steve Smith, or Lewis Murphy of the Raiders this week?
Well, if we're talking PPR, then I'm definitely going with Steve Smith of the New York Giants, but it's pretty close. I mean, I could see somebody starting Lewis Murphy against that very vulnerable Houston Texan defense. So, you know, I'm going with Steve Smith, but I couldn't argue if he went the other way, really.
Okay, Rev, pick one for flex. You got bumbling Tolbert in San Diego, C.J. Spiller, Kuhn over in Green Bay, or Willis McGahee in Baltimore with Ray Rice, a hobbly ankle.
So pick two, you said?
No, pick one, Tolbert, Spiller, Kuhn, or McGahee. Who are you rolling the dice with?
You know, for this week only, I think I'm going to go with John Kuhn. I think he has the best chance of scoring a cheap touchdown. Look, Green Bay is just going to roll all over the Detroit Lions coming off a loss on Monday Night Football. I think that John Kuhn might score a cheap touchdown for you. And, you know, if you're in a bind, I think Kuhn's the better play here.
Russ, you care to weigh in on that one?
Yeah, that's a tough choice, but I'm going to have to concur with the Rev. I think when Green Bay does run the ball, they are going to run it with Kuhn, and especially, obviously, near the goal line. And I think there's going to be a lot of points in that game. My second choice would actually be McGahee, who I think is going to be the same sort of player and have the same sort of touches and numbers as Kuhn, but I just happen to like Green Bay's chances to score more points, so I'll go with Kuhn.
I'm not a big fan of Kuhn. I'm never a big fan of playing a running back who I think will have less than 10 touches in a game, and I think Kuhn fits that criteria. Me personally, I think LaRon McClain is the guy in Baltimore, not Willis McGahee, who offers more fantasy potential, so I take McGahee out of the equation, and to me it comes down to Tolbert or Spiller, and I think I might just lean Tolbert here for one more week. Ryan Matthews, you know, his injury is more serious than you think. I think Tolbert, out of these four guys, is the guy that's in line to get the most carries. Unless your league pays for big play potential, which, of course, C.J. Spiller brings to the table. Over to the phone lines. Jersey, I hope you got a win under your belt for us.
Oh, my brothers, man, I kicked the you-know-what, man. I got 199 points in my PPR. I left the dogs out on Brother Vic last week, and I tell you, I'm rolling, man. I got the second most highest points, but 420 points scored in the first 3 weeks, but I have 410 scored against me. I won the standard league, so like I said, I'm 1-2. But hey, my quick question is, I was hearing a little bit of your stuff here. I'm too many dilemmas. In my standard league, I got Steven Jackson, who may be out, and I also got Matthews to play. My man Foster, Aryan Nation's playing for me. But do I go with Matthews or Ben Jarvis, the law firm, Ellis, if Steven Jackson's out?
Yeah, from what I'm hearing, Steven Jackson is questionable. He may not play, which is always dangerous waters when you enter fantasy football territory. So I'm going to throw this one over to the Reverend. What do you do here, Ralph?
The question is Matthews or Ben Jarvis?
Yeah, if Steven correct. Jackson happens to be out, I have an option between those two, correct? Yes, sir.
You know something? I like both players this week, but I think Matthews is the safer guy just because in New England, you don't know what they're going to do from week to week. You know, Belichick is hard to predict. So he might just go out there, go in shotgun formation, and just pass the ball all game long, and maybe just give Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, maybe like 7 or 8 carries all game.
Right.
I think the safer way to go here is with Matthews. I like Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis more as a flex option this week. So I'm going to stick with the young guy from San Diego.
Yeah, Rev, I agree with you. I think even if Jackson is listed as active, I would play Matthews over him.
Okay. That's what I was leaning to because I have Matthews in it now. And last question is, it's a stupid question. In my PPR, like I have Bryant as my kicker, my main kicker, and I also have Bueller from Dallas. But I can also pick up Oakland kicker, Senna, whatever his name is. But do I drop Bueller for him for Senna, whatever his name is, Sebastian Janikowski?
Janikowski, yeah. You know what? Janikowski missed 3 field goals last week. He missed 3 field goals all of last season. Go do yourself a favor. Pick up the Seabass. He's good for a bunch of 50-yard field goals. But I want to circle back to your last question because Ryan Matthews, in my opinion, I don't know. I'd be very, very cautious of playing that guy this week, in my opinion, just because that high ankle sprain, that's a tricky injury for running backs. And I know, you know, he's rushing back to play and get onto the field and all that stuff, but I still believe that Tolbert will be the guy that gets the bulk of those carries. You still have Sproles in the mix. I might actually lean towards Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. Now, you know, I haven't checked in on Ryan Matthews' injury in the last 24 hours, but the last time I heard, you know, this guy is going to be limited. So
he practiced fully on Friday, bro.
Huh?
He practiced fully on Friday. He's good to go,
yeah.
I'm telling you. Just like Michael Turner a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I thought he
okay.
practiced Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Yeah, that's what I saw on there. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
I appreciate it, man. You've been helping me. Hopefully, I'm going 2-2 to the promised land in both leagues. I think I'm rolling, and this is a big help. And best luck to you guys this weekend in your leagues. And we'll look to talk again next Sunday morning. Be safe, and good luck this weekend.
Jersey, enjoy the week 4 holiday, my brother.
And thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, that's what we love to do is help people out here on Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, if you want to get in on the fun, 347-945-6275. Again, some questions coming into us in the chat room, fellas. Chris Cooley, who I think you like this week, Ross, or Vernon Davis at tight end. You know, people getting frustrated with the 49ers offense. I can't blame them. This is a non-PPR league, and he's been starting Davis every week, and it has not paid off.
Yeah, I have the two ranked right next to each other in my tight end rankings, and I'm going to say that Vernon Davis gets a little bit of an injection of energy and also some fantasy points this week with the offensive coordinator change, and I'm going to go with him by just a tick over Chris Cooley, and mainly based on the fact that the Saints really shredded Atlanta's defense last week with some tight end play. So I like Vernon Davis this week.
Ralph, Vernon Davis over Chris Cooley. Are you sold?
No, I'm going to go with Chris Cooley all the way here. Look, that San Francisco offense is in disarray. They're changing offensive coordinators. Their quarterback's not playing particularly well right now at this point. And I think that you're going to have a shootout with Philly and Washington this week. I'm going to go with Cooley.
And McNabb really lit it up at St. Louis last week.
It's okay. Hey, that's Donovan McNabb. He's inconsistent. But you know what? Cooley's his number one target. So
right.
I'm going to go with Cooley here.
Yeah, I don't think that's crazy.
You mentioned the change at offensive coordinator position for the 49ers. Usually when these type of things happen, you know, one or two things usually happen. It either goes boom or it goes bust. So I'm going to say Chris Cooley is the safer play. I'm going to say Vernon Davis offers the more upside. But if you want to play it safe, it's Chris Cooley time. And Reverend needs two guys here for a PPR league, Ronnie Brown, Tim Hightower, Frank Gore. Is it safe to say you get rid of Tim Hightower here with Beanie Wells looking like he's back?
I'm not crazy about Ronnie Brown, but I'm going to go with Brown and Gore. Hightower is a guy that, you know, in a PPR league, maybe you could start him every once in a while as your flex back. But I think this week I'm going to go with Brown and Gore. Beanie Wells looked terrific last week. I think clearly Hightower is a number two back. So you're going to go with your two number one backs over a number two back. That's Brown and Gore over Hightower.
Okay, there you have it. Reggie Wayne, we will talk about in the Colts game. Question coming in about him. Pierre Thomas. You know, G Money wants to know out there, who's the goal line back in New Orleans now? With Reggie Bush injured, you got Ivory in the mix, you got another young fella, Liddell Betts, and who's in the mix there to get the goal line carries if it's not Pierre Thomas?
Yeah, it's not going to be Pierre Thomas. I think it's going to be Christopher Ivory, but again, he did cough up the ball a couple times last week, and the Saints have absolutely no problem throwing the ball from the one-yard line. You know, that's as good as a run play from them. So even though I see Ivory being back to get the carries inside the five-yard line, it doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be carries inside the five-yard line. But, you know, he's worth a flyer if you're desperate and if you're in a touchdown league. I think Ivory's the guy who's going to get those short yardage touchdowns.
Well, if you have Pierre Thomas, do you start him over Tolbert and Kuhn?
I don't start Pierre Thomas over anybody. I would start Tolbert or Kuhn in that situation. I just don't think Thomas is going to go at all.
Wow. Do you agree, Ref? If you have Pierre Thomas, Tolbert, and Kuhn, which guy do you go there?
Yeah, it's not looking good for Thomas. I'm going to go with Kuhn and then Tolbert.
Okay. How about a PPR league, Ross, Vernon Davis, or Greg Olsen?
In a PPR league, I'm going with Davis. You know, Olsen's been making his living off, you know, a couple of big plays per game, and I don't deny that he'll probably get that against a pretty shoddy Giant interior defense. But Vernon Davis is going to get an awful lot of targets today for the San Francisco 49ers, and I like him to produce more than Olsen.
All right, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, here you there. Rick Serratella, Russ Mandel, Ralph Mancini, polluting your ears with all this good fantasy football knowledge each and every Sunday morning, 8:30 to 10. Check us out over at NFLDraftBible.com. Got a good friend Taz in the chat room, moderating the chat room. If you want to get down on it, log on to Blog Talk Radio and get in the mix in the chat room. And, of course, always taking your calls, 347-945-6275, and speaking of the man, the myth, the legend, I think we have him on the phone line now.
Yo, guys.
What's happening, brother?
Hey, man, I apologize for calling back, man. I got all wound up there. I meant to answer this dilemma in my PPR league. I have Witten, but he's on a bye week. I have Pettigrew, but also Sheffer, you know, is also available, and also the guy from St. Louis. So it's kind of like a one-week wonder I need. Do I take the roll of dice with Pettigrew in my PPR league this week? Or do I look to pick up St. Louis's receiver and drop Pettigrew? Or do I pick up Tony Scheffler from? They're basically my three options I have in a PPR league for tight end.
Yeah, I like Cody Scheffler out of that group this week. I think he and Sean Hell have a pretty good rapport going, and I think they're going to have to be putting the ball up in the air an awful lot this week. And, you know, Scheffler's made some hay. He had, you know, what, 60 yards and a touchdown catch last week. And as he and Hill get more comfortable with each other, I think those numbers are going to level off at something around that level. I like Scheffler this week.
I like Pettigrew. I mean, I've been watching him play. He looks like he's 100% healthy from that injury. He's moving very well. And, look, Sean Hill doesn't have a great arm. So you know he's going to go short, and he's going to have to throw the ball like Ross said. And I think Pettigrew is a shorthanded guy, a good security blanket over the middle to make a lot of those tough catches.
Yeah, I think both Lions tight ends are going to have, you know, 6, 7, 8 catches, just a matter of who sees the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, that one's a real coin toss. Who's the third option there, Jersey? You said St. Louis tight end?
It would have been St. Louis's Ferris or whatever his name is, Ferris.
Daniel Fells.
Yeah, I've fallen and I can't get up. Yeah. You know, I think you flip a coin between one of the Lions guys and hold your breath there.
All right, I'll do a Pettigrew. I already got him. It saves me $5 and drop him. I'm picking up Sheffer for 1 week then. I'll just do a Pettigrew. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Bother you again. Thank you very kindly. And again,
Us, Jersey. We always appreciate it. You know, that's a tough question. You know, Pettigrew or Sheffler, they're playing the same team. They're you know, they're right on, you know, neck and neck in terms of fantasy value there. I mean, you know, there's really no way to determine. It's like the kid in New England, Hernandez or Gronkowski. I mean, it's tough to tell from week to week who's going to be the guy there. But let's get into one of these games here, Ross. Detroit 0-3, looking for their first win. At Green Bay, 3-0, looking for their first loss.
Well, they had their first loss against the Bears, last I saw, even though they deserved to win the game.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, Green Bay.
Detroit's feisty, but they're not going to break into the win column this week, not with Rodgers, JerMichael Finley, and Greg Jennings going against them. And I know Jennings didn't do anything after his touchdown catch against the Bears, but, you know, this is Detroit at home, and I like Jennings to have a sort of a bust-out week this week, and obviously Rodgers and Finley are every week starts. I also really like Green Bay's defense this week, especially with Jonathan Dess dinged up. You know, you still play Calvin Johnson, but I don't think you can expect too much, since Green Bay certainly has enough quarterbacks to cover the only wide receiver that Detroit has, and, you know, another reason to like Scheffler and Pettigrew in this game. The dud in this game, for my money, is Brandon Jackson. Look, he can't run the ball, and he's going to be primarily a passing down back going forward. I think with all the other better options that Rodgers has in that passing game, it's going to be slim pickings for Jackson, who's getting, you know, has to get the dump-off passes. And against Detroit, I don't see that many of those coming. I think also you have to dud the Detroit wide receivers other than Calvin Johnson. You know, Bryant Johnson and Derek Williams, absolutely nothing. You're better off with the tight ends in Detroit. I think the sleeper, as we've discussed, are those tight ends, Scheffler and Pettigrew. You know, they're really prospering with Sean Hill at quarterback. But for me, as I mentioned before, Scheffler does get those red zone targets, and I think he's a legit play in this game. And, you know, we've gone back and forth with John Kuhn, but I kind of like him in this game. I think he's going to get the goal line carries, and he's going to get the majority of the other carries. If you need a guy who's going to get you 50, 60 yards and his touchdown as a flex play in the bye week, I think he could do a lot worse than John Kuhn. I think the Packers cruise in this one, 35-21, with Detroit playing catch-up from the get-go.
I think Detroit might pull this one out and get their first win. We shall see. Ralph, talk to me about this Cincinnati Bengals game, 2-1. Batman and Robin heading into Cleveland there. 0-3, you know, Jake Delhomme, Seneca Wallace, I don't think it really matters. But that Cleveland secondary, I saw Eric Wright doing a lot of running last week, and he was running to catch up to the wide receivers running by him. And
yep.
He has the daunting task of trying to lock down the Batman and Robin duo today.
Yeah, Mr. Wright was eating a lot of dust, but I don't think it's going to be the Batman and Robin show. I think it's going to be the Cedric Benson show, and he's my stud this week. look, he's averaging 3.1 yards per carry, but so what? I mean, he's getting into the end zone. He scored twice last week. Plus, he's getting the carries. Only four running backs have more rushing attempts than Cedric Benson. And I think he'll keep on running it as Cincinnati sort of sorts out its issues in the passing game. Cleveland will probably be without Sean Rogers, who is very questionable with hip and ankle ailments, and their stud linebacker, DeQuell Jackson, is out for the season with a torn pectoral muscle. So don't be shocked to see Benson score two more times this week, just like he did last week versus Carolina. The dud here is Mohamed Massaquoi. This man has done very little since catching a 41-yard pass from Jake Delhomme in week one. Seneca Wallace looks like he's going to be the quarterback. Cleveland probably won't ask him to throw it a whole heck of a lot. Also, Massaquoi goes up against one of the better cornerback combos in Jonathan Joseph and Leon Hall. The sleeper here is Jermaine Gresham. Cleveland will always give up a share of catches to the tight end. Gresham has already been targeted 21 times, so the former Sooner isn't a bad choice as a bye week fill-in today. I like Cincy in this one, 24-17.
All right, Cincinnati, I think you got Cleveland on this one, don't you, Russ?
Yeah, I have Cleveland in a little bit of an upset, 21-16. I'm just down on Carson Palmer, and I think Cleveland is due to actually come through in the game. I'm not believing in Cincinnati's offense just yet.
Okay, we've got breaking news. The Billy Bean Balls 10 in the guest chat room just traded Antonio Gates and Kevin Walter. In return, he got Jay Cutler, Dustin Keller, and DeSean Jackson. Really? He wants to know the thoughts. Well, you made out, my friend.
I think he should be arrested for grand larceny.
Yeah, I mean, if someone traded you Jay Cutler, Dustin Keller, and DeSean Jackson for Antonio Gates and Kevin Walter, then take the money and run, my friend. Let's see here. We got Joseph Addai against the Jacksonville Jaguars or a banged-up Ray Rice against the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ross. Who do you like in this one?
Ooh, wow. Well, you know, they're saying Rice is good to go. And he is facing the Steelers, and the Dyes facing Jacksonville. I don't know that the Colts are going to be able to establish the run this week, so I'm hesitant, but I'm going to say go with Ray Rice in this one, even though it's against Pittsburgh. But obviously pay attention when the injury report comes out, because if there's any indication that Rice isn't going to play or isn't going to play fully, I would definitely go with the Dye.
Well, Ray Rice says he's good to go, and I know he's a competitive guy and all, but I'm going to have to go with Joseph Addai here because I tend to believe that McGahey and McClain will play a bigger factor, a bigger role this week, and I know that Donald Brown has been ruled out, so that means I know Indianapolis likes to throw the ball more than run, but that tells me that Joseph Addai is going to get all the carries against Jacksonville, where Ray Rice will just get some of the carries against Pittsburgh. Ralph, why don't you break the tiebreaker for us?
Well, you have to check on Addai's status. He did travel with the team, so if he's ready to go, if he's ready to suit up, I'm definitely going to go with Addai. You got to love the matchup here versus Jacksonville. Donald Brown is out of the game, so you have to think that Addai is going to get more carries than normal. So, and you know Indy is going to put up a lot of points, so I think the odds say that Addai will have the better game.
Yeah,
there
I
was a point
like
in time when Jacksonville. Yeah, there was a point in time when Jacksonville's run defense was actually good. Those days are over, my friend. But Ross, let me ask you: Dustin Keller or Vernon Davis? A lot of people wondering about Vernon Davis this week. You know, they haven't really received the production, and you know, Dustin Keller is one of the hottest players, if not the hottest tight end in football right now. What do you do here?
Yeah, I mean, you have a choice between a guy who's among the hottest receivers, forget tight ends, in the NFL, in Dustin Keller, and a guy who's in an offense that's in turmoil in Vernon Davis against Atlanta, Keller going against Buffalo. I think you got to ride the hot hand to go with Dustin Keller here.
Yeah, kind of hard to sit Keller right now in this moment. Ralph, got another coming in about a worried Andre Johnson owner, you know, kind of banged up. Does he sit Andre Johnson on the bench this week and start him in favor of Mario Manningham? This is a non-PPR league.
Well, look, Andre Johnson's going to be a game-time decision. But the good thing for you here is that Manningham plays at night. So you have to really monitor, you know, what exactly the Texans are going to do with Andre Johnson. They play the 4 o'clock game. So if you know for a fact that Andre Johnson is not going to play, then you just plug in Mario Manningham, who plays later on tonight. So I think you play it that way. Just keep your, you know, just pay attention to what's going on, follow the news updates, and take it from there.
Well, Rick.
Ross, go ahead.
You know Andre Johnson's my boy, but he's banged up, and he's going to be going against Nnamdi Asamoah. Much as I don't like to say it, I actually think you have to consider benching him this week, but I'm not sure I would do it against the number 3 wide receiver in Manningham. So to me, if Johnson suits up, he's still a slightly better play than Manningham. But if you have another option, I think it's time to seriously consider benching Johnson this week.
I agree with the logic 100%. You know, the only thing about Manningham, he's also a little nicked up himself. And, you know, you're talking about the guy who's number 3 in line. You got Steve Smith, you got Hakeem Nicks, and then you get to Mario Manningham and Kevin Boss. Whew! I don't know if it was last week or the week before when he just carried a couple of defenders across, you know, 10, 20 yards. It was Bavaro-esque. But a lot of guys in the mix in New York for the G-men. So, yeah, you may want to consider benching Andre Johnson, but for Mario Manningham, we're not so sure. Ralph, in a non-PPR league, Ahmad Bradshaw, Beanie Wells, Cedric Benson needs 2 of these guys. Which guy are you putting on the bench?
I'm definitely going to go with Benson here, and it's between Bradshaw and Wells. You know, I'm going to go with Bradshaw. And I love Beanie Wells, by the way. I'm just going to go with Bradshaw because Wells is coming back from that injury. I don't know what the split is going to be there between him and Hightower. I do think Wells is going to get a few more carries. But I think Bradshaw is the safer play. A lot of people were worried last week about Bradshaw going up against a tough defense with the Tennessee Titans in town. But he did well. He did well against a bad defense. So I'm going to go with Bradshaw and Benson, but this one is close. I can understand why you would want to go with Wells over Bradshaw, but I'm going to go with Benson and Bradshaw.
Yeah, I think one more week you play Bradshaw over Wells along with Benson, and, you know, let's see, one more week from Beanie Wells. It looks like he's back in the mix. I do think Bradshaw will receive more carries than Wells, so I as well like Bradshaw and Benson. Ross, Jacquez Strapp in the chat room wants to know, Kellen Winslow is his tight end, not much production. They're on the bye this week. What's your thoughts for the rest of the season? We know Tampa Bay is going to make some adjustments to the offense, maybe a little bit more Aurelius Ben, a little bit less Sammy Stroud, maybe a little bit more LeGarrette Blount, maybe Kareem Huggins coming off injury, get some carries. But how about at the tight end position, Kellen Winslow Jr., the soldier? What's your take throughout the year?
Well, I mean, you know, at the beginning of the season, I had him barely inside the top 10 because I figured he'd be the primary weapon there, but that's Mike Williams now. And I just can't, based off what I've seen this season, have Kellen Winslow as a starting tight end on my fantasy football team as of right now. You know, I think there are at least 10, maybe even 12 other guys that are going to be better than him. There are guys like Greg Olsen, who many didn't believe would be any kind of a factor in the Mike Mark offensive system, who have passed him by. I think John Carlson's coming alive. I think guys like that are rising up the board as far as guys you want to start, and I think Winslow is slipping a little bit, but there's no reason that can't turn around. It's only been a few games, so I think you stick with him, but I'm not too hopeful in him. I'm more of a Mike Williams guy as far as Tampa Bay goes. So, you know, I see mediocrity coming from Kellen Winslow Jr. I don't think he's an every-week start by any stretch.
Yeah, I think you made a lot of good points there. I don't think, you know, you don't make him walk the plank just yet. You know, don't cut him. But, you know, maybe you can go out there and pick up a Tony Mowacki or somebody to ensure yourself. And maybe you play the matchups if he doesn't pick it up. But a lot of football left to be played. We're only 3 weeks into the season. So don't get rid of him just yet, but maybe start exploring some other options, John Carlson, Tony Mollacki, guys like that. Ralph, this John Kuhn bandwagon catching some steam here. A lot of people want to know what's his status. How about Kuhn or Devon Bess this week in a PPR league?
You know, Devon Bess has been looking good. I like him in a PPR league. I think Kuhn gives you the better chance of scoring a touchdown. I think definitely Bess is going to get a lot of balls thrown to him. I'm going to go with Kuhn here. You know, just because I think that Green Bay is just going to stomp all over the Detroit Lions. I look for Green Bay to break out, maybe score 41 points this week. So I think Kuhn's going to be good for at least one of those cheap little one-yard touchdowns. I'm going to go with Kuhn this week.
Yeah, I think Kuhn has a better chance to score. I think Bess gets more receptions, which is always a factor in a PPR. Something to think about. Tough call. How about Ross? You mentioned you wouldn't bench Andre Johnson in favor of Mariel Manningham. How about in favor of Johnny Knox?
Yeah, that's a perfect example. You know, based on what I've seen and the matchup, I would go with Johnny Knox. I think he's going to have a pretty decent game against the Giants tonight.
Okay, Ralph, process of elimination. We have Tim Hightower, Ronnie Brown, or Steven Jackson. Which one are you getting rid of?
I think from what I'm reading, it doesn't look like Steven Jackson is going to suit up this week. I would be surprised if he does. So you're going to have to eliminate Steven Jackson out of that equation.
Okay, there you have it. Ross, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis or Ryan Matthews?
We touched on this before, but I'm going with Matthews, who practiced fully Friday and looks good to go against a really weak Arizona defense. I'm going with Matthews.
Okay. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini breaking it down for you. We're going to go around the league, get into our games, get some of these phone calls out of the way. And 908, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. It's Taz. How you doing?
Oh, Taz. I knew it was you, man. What was the big record last week?
Last week was a little bit more down to earth. We ended up with, I think it was 36-18.
36-18 for those of you who don't know.
I'm sorry, 36-28. So yeah, it was a little down to earth.
Okay, that's above 500. That'll keep that would keep Jerry Manuel employed here in New York. And for those of you who don't know, you know, Taz has set the Guinness Book of World Records. He's in 64 fantasy football leagues. He's the official moderator of the Fantasy Football Insiders chat room. He also hosts the show here on Blog Talk Radio and the Fantasy Football Whiz. Check him out online. What's on your mind this week, Taz?
Well, in one of my leagues, I just happen to have one of these really tough decisions, and figure I'd throw it out there, get some more opinions. I gotta choose one between these three in a PPR: Darby against Seattle, Portis against Philly, or Maroney at the Tennessee.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a tough one. You know, Darby, that's an interesting thing because I think he got a goal line carry last week with Steven Jackson out. He's probably going to get a lot more carries this week. Clinton Portis, you know, Ryan Terrain is eating into his share time in Washington. And the third one, you said Maroney was in Denver, is another timeshare with Buckholter. This is a tough one. Let me throw it out to Ross first.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm going to go with Darby. I just don't like the matchup for Maroney and Clinton Portis for me. I would sooner drop him from my roster than start him at this point. I think Darby is going to get all the touches against Seattle, and I know their run defense is ranked fifth, but among these guys, I think he's got the best chance, and I don't think Maroney's completely acclimated himself in Denver yet, so I'd wait a couple weeks for him. This week, I think I'd go with Darby at home.
Yeah, I'm with that kind of Darby pick. I'm with that pick. You know, Portis, to me, you know, is kind of on the other side of the hill coming down with Terrain, I think, playing more of a role there. And again, you know, Maroney in Denver, you don't know what you're going to get. Darby, I think, is in line to get the bulk of the carries there. Ralph, you want to make it unanimous with Darby?
No, actually, I'm going to go with Maroney. I don't love the matchup, but he is going to be the primary back there with the Denver Broncos. And I think he could be good for one of those cheap one-yard touchdowns. He is going to get the carries. He did have some success against the Tennessee Titans last year as a New England Patriot. I just don't know much about Darby except for what he did last week. I'm not convinced that he's going to have a great game. I'm going to go with Maroney here.
Well, Maroney was a primary last week and only got 12 touches, and Darby got more in three quarters.
I understand, but Maroney has more of a history. Maroney has scored touchdowns in the past. You know, I mean, he's not a great back. I don't like him, but I just think I would feel more comfortable with Maroney in the lineup playing in a decent offense with Orton in the lineup. I just think he has a better chance of doing some things compared to Darby, who's playing in a worse offense with a rookie quarterback.
And that's what makes it a hard decision for me because, I mean, whether you like Maroney or not, last year he did score 9 touchdowns, so you know he can get it done inside the 1 or 2. And if he gets that chance,
well,
he could score.
You know, here's the thing that I think, you know, St. Louis game, Seattle, I think that has a chance to be like a shootout, very high scoring. And I really like how Sam Bradford has moved the offense. And I just think that Darby would be the guy that gets the goal line carries. I know Maroney did it last year or throughout his career for the Patriots, but, you know, it's a hit or miss. You know, I guess these are all, you know, cases of boom or bust scenarios. But I would say that Darby has the most upside in my opinion. But, yes, it's a very difficult choice to make here.
What I always tell everybody is flip a three-headed coin.
I don't
Thanks,
think you need to agree
with
Portis, man. Get him out of there. Get Portis out of there.
Yeah,
Portis is definitely out of there. No worries. I'm just going by what's available on the waiver wire to see what I can grab.
I hear you.
All right, Taz. And Thanks, guys. Reminder to our listeners, when's the next time you're going to be on again?
I will be on again Wednesday night from 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock, 3 hours straight.
All right, the Fantasy Football Whiz, make sure you check him out, the Fantasy Football Roundtable. I want to make sure we get on there, Taz, so drop me a line so we can come on your show and go around the league, around the table, and go over to 313. You're on the line. What's on your mind? 313, you're on the line. What's on your mind? 587, going once, going twice, three times. Are you there, my friend? Okay, 313, three strikes, and you're out. All right, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. That was the Tasmanian fantasy football devil that you heard from holding down the chat room. 36 and 20 this week. It would have saved Jerry Manuel's job. And 64 fantasy football leagues. That's amazing. You know, a lot of talks about whether or not Brandon Jacobs or Marshawn Lynch gets traded, especially to Green Bay. I think if anybody, it would be Lynch, not Jacobs. I think the Giants are going to hold on to that problem. Why? I don't know why, but I do think this would be the last hurrah for Brandon Jacobs in a New York Giants uniform this season. We've got some more games to get to. I want to get some of these chat room questions out of the way. 2 of 3, Ronnie Brown, Peyton Hillis, Beanie Wells. I'm going to tell you, get rid of Ronnie Brown this week. I don't like him. Non-PPR, flex position, turf toe Johnny or your boy Lance Moore, Ross?
Yeah, I'm going with Lance Moore until I see Jonathan Stewart get more significant touches. Lance Moore is my boy. He had an electrifying week last week, and I just think the Saints are going to score a ton, and I don't think there's going to be a lot of room for Jonathan Stewart this week in the Carolina offense, as there hasn't been all year.
Ralph, PPR, flex position, Johnny Knox or Beanie Wells?
Ooh,
yeah, this is a tough one. If it's a PPR league, I think I will go with Knox this week. I think he has the better matchup, and he's got good chemistry going on there with Cutler. I think Knox is the number one deep threat there, the number one receiver, I think, in Chicago, the best receiver for that Mike Martz offense. He is going up against the Giants. I don't like that Giants secondary. Let's give Wells another week, and then for the rest of the season, you can comfortably go with Wells over Knox. But this week, one last time, I want to go with Knox over Wells.
Okay, half a point per reception, Ross. Lance Moore, Mike Thomas, or the law firm, who do you like there?
Half a point per reception, huh? That's not making me very happy. I'm going to go with the law firm, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, in this one. I can easily see him hitting, you know, 75 yards and a touchdown against the Dolphins. And, you know, you're not guaranteed a lot more than that out of the other two, and they become less valuable as the points per reception gets cut in half. So I'm going to go with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis in that one.
I agree with you. You know, Lance Moore, Mike Thomas, two guys that are hit or miss right now. I don't know if I can lay it on the line with those guys. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini here, you there. I want to give a shout-out to our boy Oliver in the chat room from the Fantasy Football Royal Rumble alumni. Ross, let's get into this next matchup, wind down these 1 o'clock games, and then get into the 4 o'clock matchups. San Francisco 0-3, still searching for its first win. We mentioned, you know, the whole offensive coordinator change. Heading into Atlanta, 2-1, must-win game for Mike Singletary. Is he all huff or no puff? What's going on here?
Well, you know, I thought that about him since the Vernon Davis episode, so we'll see what happens. I don't think he's in any danger of getting fired just yet. Last week, I hope you listened when I said to play Michael Turner because he was healthy. He had 30 carries and should be able to score at will against the San Francisco run defense that is just really as poor as it could possibly be last week. I don't think they're quite that bad, but they certainly aren't anywhere near what we thought they would be. I like Frank Gore as well in this game, 145 total yards last week, and really being worked into the rushing and especially the receiving game for the Niners. I don't know how much that's going to change with the new offensive coordinator, Mike Johnson, but I don't expect it'll change an awful lot. I like Matt Ryan this week. I don't love him, though. I think, you know, Atlanta tends to go conservatively when they can, and I think they'll be able to do exactly that this week. You know, something like 200 yards and a couple of touchdowns for Matt Ryan this week. It's good, but it's not great. I think Roddy White, Nate Clements is going to be covering Roddy White, San Francisco said. I don't know how that's a good thing for the 49ers because Clements is essentially garbage as far as I'm concerned. So I think Roddy White easily has 90 yards and a touchdown at the very least today. I like Vernon Davis a little bit. As I said before, the Saints tight ends have had success against the Falcons. New offensive coordinator, you know, Mike Johnson, I think he'll be able to quickly restore Davis into a fantasy football scoring machine. I don't know if it'll happen this week, but it's certainly going to happen eventually on that offense. It doesn't have a lot of choices at receiver if Michael Crabtree is going to keep not running his routes. Tony Gonzalez finally shut me up last week after 3 weeks of saying not to play him. I learned my lesson. I think I like his matchup this week. You go with him. The dud, as I mentioned, Michael Crabtree, you know, he's killing me. It's going to take more time for him to get involved with the new offense than it is for Vernon Davis to turn it around. And, you know, he had 6 receptions all season. It's a huge disappointment for those of us who thought he was going to have a big season. I got to see it before I believe it as far as recommending him. But I do think Crabtree is a good buy-low candidate if you're trying to work some trades working around the bye weeks. The sleeper here, look, I don't think Mike Johnson's going to cure those offensive woes in San Francisco overnight. So I think the Atlanta Falcons defense is a pretty decent play here, especially in a bye week. I think they're going to force Alex Smith into turnovers in the dome. And I think the Atlanta Falcons are going to win this game 31-17.
Okay, there you have it. You know, here's my problem with Michael Crabtree, Diva Crabtree. The guy, you know, and I have him on one of my teams, and it's just frustrating to watch. The guy makes his first catch maybe, you know, towards the end of the second quarter, gets up, celebrates like he just scored a touchdown. Your team is losing, buddy. And guess what? We don't hear from you for the rest of the goddamn game. So, you know what? Don't do that crap unless you're producing, okay?
Can't argue.
Ralph, real quickie here before we get into your big Jets matchup, Cedric Benson or Run DMC, is it time to start Darren McFadden over Cedric Benson?
I want to go with Cedric Benson all day here. He's getting the carries. He's getting the touchdowns. His yards per carry average isn't high, but who cares? He is the offense in Cincinnati right now. That passing game is in disarray. Carson Palmer isn't communicating well with his receivers, it might take another week or two before they get in gear in terms of passing the ball around. I'm going to go with Benson here. He's their bread and butter. Look for him to score not once but twice this week.
Yeah, you know, I'm about as a big of Darren McFadden fan as there is. All that being said, I'd still go Cedric Benson this week over D-Mac. G-Money, DMC, Bradshaw, or Mendenhall. Mendenhall is an absolute stud, and you just do not bench a guy like that. Not now, not right now, maybe not ever. All right, here it is, Rev. I know you've been chopping at the bit. This Buffalo Bills team, not exactly a pushover, you know, gave New England a run for their money. I think it was like 38-30, something like that. The big news, aside from Mark Sanchez coming off another big game, Darrell Revis out, Trevor Price joins the Jets this week. Break it down for us.
Yeah, in a game that should be the snoozer of the week, I'm not worried about the Buffalo Bills. I know they scored a lot of points last week, but that's against the New England defense that just doesn't have much of a secondary right now. The stud here is Dustin Keller. The man is on fire, as Marv Albert would say. With 13 receptions and 3 touchdowns over the past 2 weeks, he has a great matchup this week versus a Bills secondary that has given up the 4th most fantasy points to tight ends this year. You can't put a linebacker on Keller, and Buffalo certainly doesn't have the safeties to defend a young tight end. Dante Whitner hasn't looked good so far. The dud here is Ryan Fitzpatrick, the quarterback. Fitzpatrick's numbers last week were more a product of bad coverage by New England's secondary than his own natural skills. The ball just doesn't come out of his hand quickly enough or quick enough, allowing defenders to jump all over his passes. I would stay away from Ryan Fitzpatrick. The sleeper here, well, if there is a sleeper on this Buffalo Bills team, I guess it would have to be Marshawn Lynch. It's not a good matchup for him, but he is going to get the touches. C.J. Spiller isn't ready to take over the offense yet. Lynch is running hard, and the Bills are clearly showcasing him for a trade. I think a cheap one-yard touchdown is definitely a possibility here. I'm going to go with the Jets over Buffalo, 23-10.
Okay, there you have it. And we're going to go over to the chat room. Yes, Stevie Johnson in the mix scored a touchdown, I think, last week. Need two, Ross. Darius Heyward-Bey, our boy John Kuhn getting a lot of love today, and Lance Moore. Which guy are you axing out of the equation here?
Is it a PPR?
Non-PPR.
Non-PPR, you definitely get rid of Heyward-Bey out of that mix. I just don't see him scoring a touchdown. I do see Kuhn scoring a touchdown. So it makes it a pretty easy choice for me to get rid of Darius Heyward-Bey.
All right. Ralph, get your pen and pencils ready because this is a big one. PPR league needs two of these guys. Malcolm Floyd going up against Arizona. Larry Fitzgerald going up against San Diego. Megatron against Green Bay, or Willis McGahee at Pittsburgh, or Beanie Wells at San Diego. I'll say it one more time. Malcolm Floyd, Larry Fitzgerald, Megatron, Willis McGahee, or Beanie Wells. Which two guys in a PPR league are sticking out to you?
I'm definitely going to go with Malcolm Floyd. To me, he's a top 10 receiver. And this week, and I'm also going to go with Beanie Wells. I'm very tempted to go with Megatron, but, you know, they're not going to score a lot of points in that game. Detroit's not going to score a lot of, against Green Bay this week. I think it's going to be a total blowout. I think Charles Woodson is going to be a tough matchup for Mr. Megatron there in Detroit. So I'm going to go with Floyd, and I'm going to go with Beanie Wells. I mean, it's a little bit of a hit-or-miss pick, but I love what I saw out of Beanie Wells. He's a hard-charging back. They couldn't bring him down last week in the few carries that he had. And I think that, you know, Arizona is going to start that game trying to establish the run. And I think he'll have some success. I think he'll have a bust off a couple of big runs. So my choices are Floyd and Wells.
Yeah, I like Beanie Wells in this equation. Actually, I like Beanie Wells a lot this week. I would play him, and I would go Megatron over your boy Malcolm Floyd. Just, you know, I think Detroit's going to win. I think Megatron will have 2 touchdowns. So I like Megatron and Beanie Wells
there. You know something that we don't know, picking Detroit over Green Bay? Because I don't see that at all.
Aren't you the guy that told me that Sean Green is a better fantasy football player than LaDainian Tomlinson?
Dude,
that'll help you the rest of the year.
Hey, look, you know, go back and check the archives. My predictions have been dead on, my friend.
Niners. I got a list 10 feet long of predictions that you had wrong, my friend. I don't see Detroit doing anything this week. I think Green Bay is going to go and crush them, and they're playing at home in Green Bay. You can't expect Detroit to do much of anything this week.
Gentlemen, you're
Green
both
Bay's
on the record.
Off a loss.
You're both on
well,
the
what
record.
What if I pose it to you like this? Ndamukong Suh just knocks Aaron Rodgers out of the game, and Matt Flynn is in there at quarterback for Green Bay. Call me Roster Domus, and maybe I have a crystal ball, too.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, hey, if that happens, who knows? But, you know, I mean, come on.
All right, guys. Our good friend Ali from the Royal Rumble looking for some advice. I don't know if we want to steer him in the right direction, but here we go. This is one of his other leagues, actually, so we'll help him out. He has Phillip Rivers, Calvin Johnson, Ahmad Bradshaw, Reggie Wayne, Larry Fitzgerald, Dallas Clark, and your boy, LaDainian Tomlinson, starting. Okay, on the bench, he's got Joe Flacco, Matt Forte, Jacoby Jones, Zach Miller, Clinton Portis, Malcolm Floyd. Should he make a switch anywhere? I guess the guys on the bench that stick out to me would be Matt Forte. I don't think you play him over Ahmad Bradshaw, maybe over LaDainian Tomlinson. Jacoby Jones I like this week, but not over the guys that you have. Malcolm Floyd, same deal. I don't think you start Malcolm Floyd. Certainly not over Megatron, certainly not over Reggie Wayne. Over Larry Fitzgerald, maybe. So let me do it like this. Ralph, I'll ask you first. Do you start Matt Forte over LaDainian Tomlinson?
No, not this week. I think, you know, the Giants are going to come out ready to shut down the run. I think if you beat the Giants this week, if you're Chicago, you're going to have to do it throwing the football. And let's face it, Forte, you know, for all the stats, all the numbers that he's put up, he's actually been more effective as a pass catcher than as a runner. I'm going to go with LaDainian Tomlinson while he's fresh and while he's healthy versus an awful Buffalo Bills team.
Russ, you actually like Forte here more than you like Bradshaw and Tomlinson.
Yeah, I think I would start Tomlinson and Forte here. Is it a PPR league or not? I don't know. But I think that Bears run defense is going to pretty much limit Bradshaw to having the worst week out of those three running backs. I don't see the Giants defense stopping anybody, especially with the injury woes that they have up there. I think the Bears can be able to do whatever they want on offense.
All right, there you have it. And the other guy is Malcolm Floyd. You know, would you state a case to start him over Larry Fitzgerald this week, Ross?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you did that, I'd understand why. I don't know that I would. I think, as I said before, I'm giving Fitzgerald and Anderson one more week. I think the Cardinals are going to be throwing the ball an awful lot in that game, and I think the Chargers are going to produce, but I don't know. I mean, I could see them each having 80 yards and a touchdown, but I don't think it's time to start benching Larry Fitzgerald for Malcolm Floyd just yet.
My wife says I should play Tolbert over Knox. Is she crazy, Rev?
Yeah, get her a straitjacket.
You know, maybe you're the one that's crazy for taking the fantasy football advice from the wifey. All right, guys, a little help on the PPR: Pierre Thomas versus Carolina or Peyton Hillis, your boy Ross, against Cincinnati.
As I said before, I don't think Pierre Thomas is going to play today, and even if he does, I like Peyton Hillis better against Cincinnati. I think he's good for easily over 100 total yards and a touchdown this week, for sure.
All right, here's a tough one, Rev. PPR league, Larry Fitzgerald or Beanie Wells?
You know, I'm gonna go with Beanie Wells here, just because nothing against Fitzgerald. He's a great receiver, future Hall of Famer. But I just don't like the quarterback that he's playing with. And plus, they have injuries in that receiving core, you know, which is going to enable San Diego just to, you know, focus on Fitzgerald, put three guys, bracket him, whatever they need to do to stop him. And so I think that, you know, based on what I saw at Beanie Wells last week, and I think he's got a couple of good runs in him, I think that I'm going to go with Wells over Fitzgerald just because of that quarterback that they have back there. I don't know why he's still starting. Derek Anderson's the pits.
I think there will be a different quarterback in there by the end of this game for the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay, Max Hall sighting possibly. Let's get into some of these 4 o'clock games real quick. We'll come back to the chat room questions. Fantasy Football Insiders, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini going around the league of Mystery Intrigue, Stud Duds, and Sleeper Style. Check us out over at the NFLDraftBible.com. We do it each and every week, 8:30 to 10 right here on the Fantasy Sports Channel, brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. Indianapolis 2-1 marches into Jacksonville, Ralph, where the Jaguars are 1-2. And Maurice Jones-Drew is still searching for his first 100-yard rushing game.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with 2 studs here. Number one, Austin Colley. He leads the Colts in targets with 32, receptions with 27. He scored in every game, and he goes up versus an awful Jacksonville secondary that has given up 7 touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks already. Outside of Rasheem Mathis, the Jacks have nothing at cornerback. Derek Cox will get eaten alive if he tries to defend Colley. You can go to the bank with that one. And then Reggie Wayne is another guy that I love this week. You know, he was quiet last week versus Champ Bailey, but look for things to change with Rasheem Mathis covering him, who looks to be in decline. But done here, I have 2 of them, Donald Brown and Pierre Garçon. Brown has officially been ruled out with a bad hamstring, and Garçon didn't make the trip to Jacksonville, as he is also coping with a hamstring issue. So put those guys on the bench. That's an easy one. The sleeper here, I have 2 of them. Number one, Mike Thomas, the wide receiver. He's a good PPR guy versus an unimpressive Indy secondary that will give up yards. Jackson will have to throw the ball. Thomas has the same number of catches as Mike Sims-Walker, and he barely missed catching a 40-yard touchdown last week. The other deep sleeper here is the running back, Mike Hart. Keep an eye on Joseph Addai's status. Addai has a bulky knee, but even if Addai does play, somebody else is going to have to get some carries behind him, and that's going to be Mr. Mike Hart, formerly of the Michigan Wolverines. I love Indy in this one, 34-16.
No love for my man Blair White?
Not this week, man. That's just like, you know, Blair White, it's like, you know, once a season will bust out with a game like that.
I don't know.
The Blair White Project activated off the practice squad, finds pay dirt last week. Ross, Arizona 2-1, travels into San Diego, who's 1-2. Most people would have thought these records would be reversed when they faced. We mentioned Ryan Matthews returns, Beanie Wells back into the mix. Break it down for us.
Yeah, you know, you got your Phillip Rivers, you got your Antonio Gates against that Arizona defense, but as I said before, I like Ryan Matthews today. I'm not scared off. He practiced fully. You know, he's going to be in there against that Arizona 31st-ranked run defense, and I don't see any reason he can't approach what the Falcons did on the ground or Darren McFadden did on the ground over the past 2 weeks against Arizona. I don't think there's any reason to be afraid. And I don't think there's any reason to be afraid of playing Beanie Wells. I mean, if you watched the Cardinals play last week, you saw that Wells, despite a nagging injury, looked like 10 times the better back than Tim Hightower. And I think that's because he is 10 times the back that Tim Hightower is. And I think that will continue against San Diego. I see Wells as a very solid number 2 running back play. And, look, I think that his presence is going to help Larry Fitzgerald, who needs some help with Derek Anderson playing quarterback. I think it's gotten to the point where Malcolm Floyd is a better play almost than Larry Fitzgerald, although I will wait one more week, as we said. And, you know, has anyone asked the question of how much worse Matt Leinart would have been than Derek Anderson? I think questions start to need to be asked about that Arizona team for a multitude of reasons, that being one of them. The dud in this one to me is Darren Sproles. Look, 17 touches, and, you know, even now if you're in a return yardage league, Patrick Creighton is going to cut into his return yard. So until I see some sort of role established in San Diego for Sproles, even in a bye week, I think Sproles is useless. The sleeper in this one, I'm going to roll the dice with Legadou Nane this week. I think Ryan Matthews' return may take away a little bit from San Diego's wide receivers,
if you want to look at it that way. But to me, his presence is going to create more space because there's finally the threat of a running game there. I think Nanne can get loose for 70, 80 yards and a touchdown against Arizona, and I see no reason that the Chargers don't level their record at home. They're going to get well, 34-16 over the Cardinals.
I agree, and I like that Legadu Nanne. I actually picked him up in one of the leagues I'm in as a deep sleeper. Winding down the 4 o'clock games and inching into the primetime games. We've got a couple more to go. I'll get back to the chat room questions, I promise. Ralph, Houston, 2-1, heads into Oakland, who's 1-2. Bruce Gradkowski is the quarterback for the Oakland Raiders, and Tom Cable, what a couple. But my question is, you know, we talked about Run DMC, Darren McFadden. Is now the time to trade high, or are you drinking the Kool-Aid and buying into D-Mac and want to run with him for the entire season?
Well, it all depends on what you're getting back in the deal, but yeah, I would look to trade high on him. I would test the waters to see, you know, what exactly people would give up to get Darren McFadden, because he doesn't have much of a track record. He is kind of a thin guy. You have to question whether or not he's going to be durable enough to survive the entire season. So yeah, I think he's a great trade high type of candidate right now. As far as this game is concerned, my stud is going to be the Polish hammer, Bruce Gradkowski. Look, he's not a great thrower, but he's quick on his feet. He makes plays outside the pocket, and he's very alert. He has a super matchup this week versus a Houston defense that's allowing 368 passing yards per game. It's a defense devoid of any menacing pass rushers outside of Mario Williams. And Gradkowski is developing a nice chemistry with his young wideouts, Lewis Murphy and Darius Heyward-Bey, and I think he should post good numbers versus Houston's inexperienced cornerbacks. The dud here is Owen Daniels. Owen Daniels' owners have been patient with their tight end. He's recovering from a torn ACL, but they've just received another kick in the groin when learning about Daniels' tight hamstring. He hasn't practiced all week. He is going to be limited even if he does suit up. I believe it's a game-time decision. I wouldn't waste my time with Owen Daniels. As a matter of fact, if Owen Daniels is your number two tight end, I would look around to see if there's some better options out there. This is fantasy football, not fantasy baseball, where you wait 2 months for somebody to come back. In fantasy football, you wait around for somebody for 2 months, you're dead. Your season's over. So if a guy like Tony Moriarty is out there, I would pick him up and replace Daniels as that second tight end. The sleeper here is Jacoby Jones. Andre Johnson is planning to play with his bad ankle. He underwent plasma therapy during the week to let it heal, but expect him to be limited even if he does play. I like Jones. I think he's got a shot to emerge as the team's top deep threat without Andre Johnson out there if he sits out. So, you know, keep track of whether, you know, whether or not Andre Johnson's going to play or not, but for my money, if he does play, he's not going to be in top condition. Nnamdi Asamoah is going to be all over him, and that should free up Jacoby Jones to make some plays. But I do like Oakland here in the mild upset. Oakland 28, Houston 27.
All right,
I'm with
there you
go.
A lot of people picking Oakland. A lot of people picking Oakland, and there you have it. Some harsh words from Mr. Owen Daniels. The Reverend wouldn't stop and get him a 99-cent double cheeseburger from McDonald's if he saw him bumming on the streets of New York. There you have it. The good Reverend getting a little nasty. All right, we're going to get into the chat room questions. I promise we got one more 4 o'clock game, and Ross, I would think that all remotes will be on this matchup at 4 o'clock as Donovan McNabb returns to Philly to visit his old battery mates. Not much I need to do to set up this matchup. Take it away.
Oh, brother, you got to love this one. You know, I think the barf bags will be out in full force in Philadelphia. I don't know why Donovan McNabb thinks he's going to get cheered. Those fans do not like him now. He's playing for the enemy. And they've somehow convinced themselves that it's his fault and his fault alone that they have not won a Super Bowl in his tenure. Look, Michael Vick, Deshaun Jackson, Jeremy Maclin against that Washington pass defense. I'm telling you, man, that pass defense is atrocious. Matt Schaub, Sam Bradford, Washington pass defense, 31st in the league. got to go with all the Eagles' passing weapons in this one. Santana Moss hooked me up last week, and I think he's a top ten wide receiving option again against Philadelphia. It's also, as we mentioned before, a great matchup for Chris Cooley. Philly's blitzes are going to make McNabb want to go to Cooley early and often. I think he's a much better play than Brent Celek in this matchup of tight ends. I think the dud in this one, Clinton Portis, guys, the writing's on the wall. His time as the number one backer over. He's going to be a third down back if he's lucky for the rest of his time this season. Look, Ryan Terrain is going to see more and more carries. And, you know, earlier today or late yesterday, they got rid of Keelan Williams to sign a kick returner, which I'm not real clear about, but I think Williams has some upside. But, you know, be that as it may, Portis is just done, I think. He's barely worthy of a roster spot, in my opinion. I don't like what I've seen from him all season, especially in that Rams game when he just kind of took a seat when approached by a couple of defenders. I think every wide receiver on the Washington Redskins other than Santana Moss is also a dud. Devin Thomas, how long are you going to wait for him to break out? He's terrible. He doesn't have a catch this season. Joey Galloway, I mean, come on. Mike Sellers has more targets than Joey Galloway. Armstrong has a groin issue, and I think he had zero targets last week, so there are not a lot of options for McNabb other than Cooley and Moss, which is why I kind of like them this week. I think the sleeper is Ryan Terrain. You can run the ball in Philadelphia. If Washington wants to remain, you know, in this game for more than a half, I think that's exactly what they're going to have to do, and Terrain's going to see the ball. Shanahan trusts him. He gets the system. He's been more effective than Portis, and I think he's the guy to have in this game. I also like the Philly defense a little bit as a bit of a sleeper against McNabb. I think they're going to flush him out of the pocket. He does not throw well when that happens. I think there are turnovers to be had. And I think Philadelphia wins this game 30-20, and I think they're going to be very happy that McNabb is wearing another uniform.
All right, there you have it. Ross, while we're on this game, a couple questions came in regards to this game. You mentioned Chris Cooley in line for a big day. I think it's safe to say you start him over Zach Miller this week, who wound up on the injury report.
Yeah, I definitely go with Cooley over Zach Miller, although, he's probable, and I think that the openings that McFadden is creating in the running game, you know, as long as that lasts, are good for Zach Miller. And Gronkowski clearly good for Zach Miller. He had 64 yards and a touchdown last week. So I think Miller does have a good week, but I really like Cooley a lot this week.
Okay, and how confident are you in Mike Vick? Are you confident enough to start him over Matt Schaub, who Schaub is playing in Oakland, and Andre Johnson and Owen Daniels are banged up? Do you go Vick over Schaub for this week?
Yes. I would start Michael Vick over Matt Schaub this week.
Wow, would you agree with that, Reverend?
Yes, I would. I think Vick's the hot guy right now, and as I said before, that's going to be a shootout against the Washington Redskins. The Redskins' secondary doesn't scare me. I'm going to go with Michael Vick here.
Okay, and one more, Ross, on this game, LeSean McCoy. What do you see in his future for this game?
Ay, ay, ay. Look, I mean, Philly, even though Donovan McNabb is gone, is still throwing the ball all over the place. And that doesn't mean there isn't a little bit of room for McCoy to get, you know, 55 to 60 yards rushing, maybe 25, 30 yards receiving, and a touchdown. I think that's pretty much what you can expect for him on a weekly basis. He's just not going to carry the ball enough to make a huge impact. You know, that 16 carries for a buck 20 against Detroit in week two is an aberration. I think it's somewhere more like, you know, 13 carries for 60 yards is going to be his line on a weekly basis. But he can definitely contribute in the passing game. I think he'll do that more as the season goes on. And, you know, I think he's a borderline top 10 guy on a weekly basis, but definitely a running back, a second running back option that you need to have in there on a weekly basis, but not a number one guy.
Okay, Ross, back to you on the tight end. Celek or Zach Miller here quickly?
I like Zach Miller. I don't like Celek in that offense at all so far.
Okay. Lee Evans or Mike Wallace came down the wire, and you know what? I finally got my revenge last week with the Mike Wallace. Stick with him over Lee Evans and ride him out, especially with Big Ben coming back. Ralph, some Bills questions. C.J. Spiller, does he have any value if Marshawn Lynch does stick around for the rest of the way?
Well, I think he – I think his value is going to increase as the season wears on, regardless of whether or not Lynch gets traded or not. I think that you have to hold on to C.J. Spiller. Look, if you're going to drop him, somebody else is going to pick him up. And if you try to trade him, you're not going to get equal value back. So you hold on to Spiller for now. He's got a load of talent. As the season wears on, they're going to have to find ways to get him the football. He's going to be explosive. He's going to make some plays. I say hold on to him.
Okay, and sticking with the Bills theme here, Rev, Marshawn Lynch, Freddie Jackson, Johnny Knox, or Kevin Walter, which one are you going to use for your flex play, Lynch, Jackson, Knox, or Walter?
I'm going to go with Johnny Knox. To me, he's got the biggest upside. I think the Bears are going to score a lot of points. I think they're going to throw it all over the field, and you have to like what you've seen out of him. He's the perfect fit for that Mike Martz offense. He kind of plays a lot like Isaac Bruce did back in the day. He's got tons of speed. I'm going to go with Johnny Knox.
Okay, Johnny Knox, Mike Wallace, or Steve Smith of the Giants, Ralph, PPR league?
You know, this is a tough one. I think I might go with Steve Smith here just because I think, you know, Manning is going to be in trouble. He's going to be on the run, and he's going to be looking for his safety valve quite often. So I think, you know, in a PPR league, I think Steve Smith is going to come down with about 6 or 7 catches this week.
Oh.
Maybe even more. Maybe
yeah.
even more this week. So I'm going to go with Steve Smith slightly over Knox.
Okay, a couple of quick hitters here. Non-PPR, Malcolm Floyd, Jeremy Maclin, Johnny Knox needs 2. Ralph, I'm going to have to go against your guy and knock out Knox of that equation. Non-PPR, Legadu Nanu or Mike Sims-Walker. I like Nanu all day long here. Big week for Legadu Nanu. Ray Rice or Sean Green, let me toss that one over to the good Reverend, Ralph Mancini.
Well, look, I know you're not a Sean Green fan, but look at his matchup. You got to love his matchup. You have to think that Sean Green is going to be good for some good goal line carries. I think that, Sean Green's not going to gain big yards. I think he has a much better chance to score than Ray Rice does this week. Ray Rice is a little banged up also. You have to take that into account. So based on that, I think this week I'm going to go with Sean Green.
Okay, Ross, non-PPR league, should he start Lance Moore, Johnny Knox, or Beanie Wells as his flex position?
Non-PPR? I think I'd lean toward Beanie Wells.
Okay. Ralph, let me ask you one more quick one. Matt Schaub or Jay Cutler this week?
I want to go with Jay Cutler. I think, you know, that guy's throwing the ball all over the field. I know that he throws a lot of picks as well. I'm gonna. If you leave big points, I think that Cutler gives you a better chance this week of putting up those big points. I think Arian Foster is going to have a big day running the ball with the Houston Texans this week.
All right, let's get these last two games in quickly here, fellas, about a minute on each game. Ross, we'll start it off with you. The Bears 3-0 against the Giants 1-2 on Sunday Night Football in America.
Yeah, definitely a high-scoring game here. I like both quarterbacks, but unlike most people, I like Manning a little more than Cutler at home. Cutler's been very lucky not to have 4 or 5 more interceptions. Manning has had 4 interceptions that have deflected off his wide receiver's hands. You know, but that's fantasy football for you. I like both running backs in this game, but I think the Bears' D is going to hold Bradshaw in check, look for 80 total yards somewhere in that neighborhood and a touchdown. I love Forte against this weak and banged-up Giants defense with Kiwanuka out, OC banged up. I don't like that defense at all tonight. 26 against the run with those guys. I think Hakeem Nicks and Steve Smith are each going to produce solid number 2 wide receiver numbers for fantasy football, as should Johnny Knox. And the Giants have trouble with the deep ball, especially without a pass rush. I don't like either tight end in this game. I think they're just outside starting material, even in a bye week. And I don't like Devin Hester's hands. I think he's no more than a number 3 wide receiver. And that's in a bye week. But I think if you count return yardage, you bump him up to a number 2, and you get him in there because the Giants have struggled in special teams this season. I think a sleeper here, maybe the Bears defense, if you want to roll the dice. I could see Eli throwing a couple of picks.
I can also see a special teams return for a touchdown. Despite the fact that New York will score, I think the Bears' defense is worth playing. And, guys, I see the Bears winning this game 31-24. I don't like what I'm seeing from the Giants.
Yeah, Tom Coughlin may not survive the season. We may see cower power in Jersey. Ralph, bring us on home, baby. Monday Night Football matchup, New England Patriots at the Miami Dolphins. Both teams 2-1, and we've seen what the Dolphins can do to this Patriots defense with the Wildcats.
Look, you start Brandon Marshall. New England doesn't have anybody that can stop him. You start Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis. With Fred Taylor out, the law firm is getting the lion's share of carries. He's young, he's fresh, he's hitting the holes hard. He's going up against the Miami defense that's given up over 117 rushing yards per game and 4.4 yards per carry. The dud here is the Miami defense. And the sleeper here is Aaron Hernandez, the rookie tight end. I like New England here, 30-20 over the Fish.
All right, there you have it, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. Unfortunately, we've got to close out the show. Sorry for those of you waiting on the line, on the phone lines. We will get to you next week, I promise. For everybody in the chat room, always appreciate it. Signing off for Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. We'll be back here next Sunday at 8:30 a.m. every Sunday. You know how we do it.